Welcome to the Sports Hour.
This is Mitch Mo.
And this is The Mormon. And we are with you on the first ever episode of this podcast. Mitch, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am fantastic. How are you, Mormon kid?
Oh, I'm great. Dallin Graff and Mitch Dodd, obviously here with you. This is a new thing. I've kind of wanted to do this for a while, and we've been talking about this kind of for a few months now, right?
Yeah, it's been about a few months, probably a little bit before Christmas.
Yeah, I think it was right around the holidays. And wanted to do a sports podcast, and here we are. We're going to be talking about all kinds of sports, anything we want, except for like lacrosse and tennis. Like, you know, not those sports.
Yeah, not the dumb sports.
Right. No dumb sports in here, only cool sports. But yeah, I mean, it's just going to be some hot takes, I guess, some commentary. Today we're going to be talking about...
There will be hot takes.
Fire takes, like ghost pepper hot takes. You know what I mean?
Sure thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so today we're going to be talking about the NBA. We have the conference finals coming up. And so we'll be talking about those, giving our predictions. We, as well, are going to be giving way too early NFL predictions. And I am very excited for this. I think this is going to be real interesting.
You know, I did my predictions maybe about two or three times. And I tried just writing it out on a piece of paper, and I realized how garbage they were.
Yeah.
And so I had to redo them, and I found a little playoff predictor that help me do the deal, and I still think they're garbage. So we're really? Just going to have some fun with it and see. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have a tough time explaining myself. There's for sure.
Do you have Browns Niners in the Super Bowl? Is that why?
Well, I did on my first sheet, and we'll get to it eventually. You
loved Baker Mayfield, didn't you? You know, you were like, he's taking him to the Super Bowl first year.
Oh, he's the franchise. He's the franchise.
He's but elite. Can we just call him elite now?
Not yet. He's not Eli Manning yet.
Right.
Yeah. No, we'll get into that, but I did have the Browns in a very peculiar position first time around making this list. So we'll get to that in just a minute, I guess. So.
Yeah, I use the online predictor as well that you sent me, and I actually was like really pleased with my results. I was worried the whole time. I was like, shoot, what if I have like this random team going like 16-0? Didn't mean to, but actually, like, I feel like these are pretty dang good results here. I don't know. I feel like they're pretty solid. So, yeah, we'll get into that. So you know what, guys, stick around, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, you're going to have to lead this discussion. You are much more savvy in the NBA than I am. So.
I am. You know, I follow the NBA probably more than any other sport. And we have the conference finals. So for those of you who don't know, it is in the East. We have Boston and Cleveland with a rematch of last year's conference finals. And in the West, we have Golden State and Houston. Now, Boston is super injured, and they have been the whole postseason, and somehow they've squeaked, well, not even squeaked by, I mean, they pretty much dominated Philly last series, but they're without Kyrie Irving, they're without Gordon Hayward, they've had a few other injuries and role players, so they're really relying on rookies and bench players, and somehow they're in the conference finals, and they're facing a Cleveland team that has been a disappointment pretty much all year, but LeBron has somehow showed up like he's 25 again, and he has led them into this conference finals. So it's a really intriguing matchup between these two teams. And Mitch, just with the knowledge that you have on this matchup, who would you have winning this? Do you think Boston, despite the genius of Brad Stevens, like, do you think they're going to lose this with their injuries, or
you know? I'm just gonna give the best answer I can here.
Great.
I've watched a little bit of NBA this year. I have, and I really don't think that Cleveland is as good as everyone thinks that they are. I've never mm-hmm. really, I'm not a fan of that. I know they win with it. I mean, obviously they are good and they deserve to be in that conference finals, but in the conference finals, but I'm taking Boston.
Yeah.
Boston. And I'm excited to see LeBron and Kyrie. No, Kyrie's injured, isn't he?
Yeah, well, and that's the most disappointing thing about this, is, like, we could have had the most amazing matchup with, like, Kyrie and LeBron playing in the conference finals, like, after Kyrie demands the trade and all that drama that happened, but Kyrie's injured, so we don't even get that, which is, like, really disappointing.
Right.
But, you know, I have to go with you. I think Cleveland, the last series, when they swept the Raptors, Kevin Love and Kyle Korver really stepped up and played well. I think Brad Stevens is good enough of a coach to eliminate those two guys and put all of the pressure on LeBron. And LeBron can't beat an entire team by himself. He just can't. And
contrary to popular belief.
Right. You know, and honestly, he never has. I mean, when he was young, he took the Cleveland team with a bunch of scrubs to the finals, but they lost to the Mavericks in that finals handily.
Right.
So he can't beat a team by himself. He needs some help. And Brad Stevens is such a good coach that he will eliminate Kevin Love. He'll put Horford on him. Kevin Love won't be able to get his shots. Kyle Korver can't play defense. They're going to expose him with Tatum and Brown. And then he's going to put it on LeBron and say, LeBron, you want to go to the finals again? You have to beat us, like the entire team. And I really do think Boston will win this. I have Boston in seven. They do have home court advantage, and that is a huge advantage. So I think it'll come down to a game seven in Boston, and I think Boston will pull it off.
I like Boston in seven. It's going to be a fun series regardless. I think even if it goes six or five, it'll be fun to watch. But I agree with you. I think Boston seven is probably the safest bet if you're going to put any money on it.
So. And you know, it's LeBron is playing so well at such a late age that I just don't even know, like, what to expect from him. Like, will he average 50 points in this series? I don't know. But, like, I feel like it's possible. Like, I don't know how he does it. But it really, it's amazing.
Okay, so quick question for you then, because we always talk about LeBron before we go on to the West. Is LeBron the GOAT?
No. Okay, this is honestly...
Thank you.
He's done this year, I think you got to think about it for like a second now. Like before, for me, I was like, nah, he's number two. Like he's not MJ. But I think you have to think about it. And if he continues this stretch, if he takes this team to the finals, whether they're playing Houston or Golden State, they're going to lose. But he takes them to the finals, that'll be, I think, his eighth or ninth straight finals appearance. And wow. That is remarkable. I mean, that it really is. And his longevity, to be in his 15th year and to be playing at the level that he is, you know, that's something MJ never did. MJ took like a year or 2 years off to play baseball, then came back, won 3 championships, then retired, then came back. I mean, he didn't have the longevity and the wear and tear on his body that LeBron has. And I think he has MJ on that. But as far as GOAT, it has to still be MJ.
You got to remember, MJ started his career 2 years later than LeBron did. Because he played 2 years at North Carolina. So
Right. It's a different time. Yeah. It's, you know, the technology that we have today allows players to play so long. You know, it just didn't exist. I mean, Michael Jordan was... in that era was probably at the beginning of a lot of this sports science back in the 90s. But now it's so prevalent that these guys are doing amazing things to condition their bodies and be able to keep playing at such a late age. So, you know, right. He's not the GOAT, but I am not upset when people argue it anymore. Like, I feel like you can have a conversation about it and you can consider it. It, you know, in certain ways, but to me, MJ's still the GOAT. Now, I think LeBron could become the GOAT, depending on what he does in the next 5 years of his career. You know, if he does some spectacular things, if he wins championships against these Warriors teams that are super teams, you know, well, then I think we really got to consider it, you know. But as far as, like, right now in his career, if he were to retire, he's not the GOAT. But
right.
People forget about Kobe too. I hate in this argument that people forget that Kobe's like a top 10 player all time. I'm just saying.
Kobe is a top 10 player of all time, without a doubt.
You know, I don't know if he's top five, because you guys got like Kareem, I think Magic, I think Duncan.
No, I don't think
Bill
he's top
Russell,
five either.
You know, but he's a top 10 player of all time. So don't forget him. Don't sleep on my boy Kobe, guys. Come on. All right. Western Conference Finals. We have the Houston Rockets as the number one seed versus the Warriors. Mitch, what are you thinking? Is this just inevitably the Warriors again?
I mean, why wouldn't you pick them? They're kind of the New England Patriots of the NBA right now. I mean, why? There's no reason for you to say that they shouldn't, that you shouldn't pick them, which, I mean, I guess makes it a little less fun when you want to see something a little bit more unpredictable, but the Rockets are really good.
Yeah.
The Rockets are really good. I love what James Harden and CP3 have done for them this entire year. I mean, that's a tough, tough team. But, I mean, it's kind of like I equate it to, because I'm more of a football guy, I equate it to kind of like the Jags-Pats game this last year. Like, everyone wants to pick the Jags.
Right.
Right? Unless you're from the New England area. Everyone wants to pick the Jags. But you know deep down that's just not going to happen. It doesn't matter if they were up 24-10 or whatever they were up in the third quarter. It doesn't matter.
Right.
They're going to find a way. And so, yeah, Golden State and I think both go seven. I could see Golden State at seven.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you. I think it's funny. Like, I have to convince myself to, like, pick the Rockets. But I don't have to do any convincing to myself to pick the Warriors. Like, it just makes sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what it comes down to. Like, that team is so good. And we forget about it. And like you said, I think the Jags-Pats example is a perfect example of it. Where we want this other team to make it. And we like the Jags. We like the defense. We like the swagger that they have. But in the end, we know that, like, Tom Brady's going to the Super Bowl. And it's just, like, it is what it is. And I think you're absolutely right that the Warriors are that team in the NBA. That, like, no matter whether you want it or not, the Warriors are going to the finals and they're going to win. So I think it honestly goes six. I would be worried if I was a Warriors fan or a player of going back to Houston for a game seven and having to win it on the road. So I think that they'll do what it takes to win it at home in game six. But I think it'll be a tough series. I mean, this Rockets team and the GM, Daryl Morey, has come out and said that they constructed this team in order to beat the Warriors. Like, that is their whole purpose, is we want to beat the Warriors. And this has been the goal all year, to meet in the conference finals and to duke it out. And I think it's going to be a fantastic series. But, you know, besides the talent on the Warriors, I do worry about James Harden. He has a tendency to not show up in big games, a la last postseason. And even in Game 5 against Houston, I mean, Chris Paul is the one who pushed them into the conference finals. Harden was nowhere to be seen. And Donovan Mitchell was blowing past him on every drive. And he was exposing him. And I think
that makes it – that gives the Rockets more of a chance now this year, is because they don't have to ride James Harden.
Yeah,
they don't have to ride him anymore because they got another guy, CP3, who's shown he can score a little bit. Hasn't been his MO his entire career. He's kind of been a true point guard. But he's shown to have those games where he can put the big numbers up, and they don't have to ride James Harden because James Harden was in that. What, correct me if I'm wrong. He was in that point guard position last year.
Right, so, and he was the offense. So without him, you're right on that.
Exactly,
but. You know, the thing is when you have Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, who can all drop 40 on any night, you need CP3 and James Harden to match that. Like, you need them both playing. So as much as, like, I do agree with you that they have definitely taken pressure off James Harden, like, they still need him to get 30 points a game in this series, or they have no chance. Because those three guys on the other team are all going to get 75 points combined at least. So you need James and you need Chris Paul to be, you know, stepping it up, getting 30 a game, and, you know, to match the scoring that the Warriors have. So, you know, it's I think you have to convince yourself to pick the Rockets. The easy pick, the smart pick, is the Warriors. And so that's why I think it just has to be the Warriors. But I think it's going to be great. I think both matchups are really, really good. and I'm very excited to watch all the games because I feel like we're going to have some really intense games, some close games, some high-scoring games, especially in the West, and I think it'll be fun basketball to watch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's all I got to say about basketball. Let's move on to some NFL. How about that?
Oh, absolutely. That sounds fantastic to me.
Okay, Mitch found this. He texted me this morning. He found this online predictor where they have the whole schedule laid out, and then you could pick which team wins each matchup. You go through all 17 weeks, and then in the end you have your playoffs, and then you pick the playoffs. I thought this was really helpful because just sitting down on paper, I probably would have chosen different teams to make the playoffs.
Right, absolutely. I did the same thing. So.
Right, but I think it's important to remember, especially when you're doing something like this, which is way too early. One, I mean, there's no injuries yet, and injuries are bound to happen. So that's going to change the landscape of the playoffs. So obviously these predictions will not be accurate. But I think as well, people forget about matchups and schedule strength. And sometimes a team has a really hard schedule. And despite the fact that they're a good team, they're only going to be able to get to 9-7. And sometimes you have an okay team that has a super easy schedule that can win 10 games. And now they're a playoff contender. So I liked doing it like this.
Right, absolutely. I mean, based on what I got done and the way I picked and did each week-to-week matchup, there are at least 8 teams in the NFC that could make the playoffs. And the AFC was actually kind of weak the way I picked the games. Uh-huh. There's 2 divisions, and we'll get to them, there was a runaway winner early on.
Yeah,
in the season with the based on the way I was picking, so it'll be interesting to see what you got as well, because I'm gonna have a tough time explaining the NFC. I feel like
yeah,
there are some teams that we'll get to it.
No, okay, so let's start with the AFC. How about that? I want to go through this division by division.
I was thinking we start with the AFC North.
AFC North, right. Okay, so I'm assuming we both had the Steelers as the top team in this.
I do, yes. Actually,
so what did you have them at record-wise?
I had them at 12-4 and 6-0 in the division. Is really weak. The Steelers are the clear-cut, runaway-with-it best team mm-hmm. in that division. Surprise team, even though they finished at 5-11... and second place. I mean, that's how far away I think this will be a runaway. I had the Browns finishing second in this division. They had a 5-11 record, as did the Bengals, who finished third. But I think the Browns are going to play well within their division.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the Bengals really at all, and I really don't like the Ravens. So no. I think, you know what? I don't think the Browns are going to be as... You're going to see a lot of improvement out of this team. I think they added some great guys in the draft. They're going to have some issues, I think, balancing that backfield with Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, and now Nick Chubb into the equation. But don't sleep on the Browns. I have them at 5-11, but I think this is a team that could surprise. They're not mm-hmm. getting the 8-8, but I think they could get. I think they could win 7. If everything goes right. If everything goes right. And Baker Mayfield actually shows up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have offensive weapons. I mean, if you look at their wide receiver core, I mean, they got Jarvis Landry in the offseason. And they have Josh Gordon. And they have Njoku, who the tight end they drafted last year. I mean, I'm not even naming half the wide... Corey Coleman, wide receiver. They have a ton of weapons. And you mentioned all their backfield. So you're going to give Baker Mayfield... presuming he starts at least after a few games into the season, you're going to give him a lot of weapons to work with. And that's, I think, some of the struggles for rookie quarterbacks is you throw them in, but like you look at Mitchell Trubisky last year, didn't have a lot of offensive weapons besides like Jordan Howard. So how well are you going to perform as a quarterback when your wide receivers are nobody? So,
right.
Cleveland
has a good young core. And I think if Baker Mayfield hones his skills in the pocket. I mean, we know he can throw on the run and be a playmaker. I mean, that's kind of what he was known for in college at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But if he can learn how to throw in the pocket, because the Cleveland Browns offensive line is not that bad. They just had a really terrible, crappy offensive line or quarterback to play behind him. And when you can't get rid of the ball in time, of course you're going to get sacked. So
exactly. Well, and they also, I mean, Joe Thomas retired this last year, and he's been an anchor on that team. So they will have to replace him. I think there'll be some growing pains. I had Cleveland second in the division as well. I had them at 6-10, so just a little higher than you. But I think, honestly, I think they'll win at least 5 games. But I would not be shocked if they got to, like, 8-8. I really wouldn't. If they got above 8-8, I would be shocked. But I don't think it's out of the question for them to win 6, 7, 8 games this year. I think their defense...
Absolutely not.
Their defense was about middle of the road last year. And they're young players, so they're going to improve. They could be a top-10 defense this year. And then, like we talked about, the offensive weapons they have, I think there's a lot of potential. I had pretty much the same as you. Steelers I had at 10-6. I had them 4-2 to the division, so I did have them losing a few games. And then I had Ravens at 4-12 and the Bengals at 3-13. I really don't like the Bengals or the Ravens.
Very bad teams this year, I think.
The Bengals are probably the worst team I had probably in all of the league. I had a few 3-13 teams, but I if I had to pick one as like the worst, it's probably the Bengals. So
really?
I don't like Andy Dalton. And maybe it's because I don't like redheads. I don't know. But
who would you rather have? Andy Dalton or Joe Flacco?
Lamar Jackson.
I'm taking Dalton. I'm taking Lamar Jackson. That's the right answer.
Yeah, that's the answer to my question. Because the thing is Flacco's around for a year and he's gone. So if I had to be a GM or coach and I had those two as options, I would take the Ravens because they have a young quarterback to build around. And there's a lot of potential there. It seems like a better situation.
Well, I think the question was Andy Dalton or Joe Flacco down.
Right. You're dodging the question. I refuse to answer. Let's move on. AFC South. This one was this one was pretty interesting for me. What did you have?
I had Jacksonville getting into the playoffs, winning the division, 12-4, 5-1 in the division. Like I said, there's some runaway teams in this conference. I had Houston also getting into the playoffs with the 5 seed. They're going 10-6, and also 5-1 in the division.
Nice.
I think just because they're getting 2 wins against Indy, this is the way it's gonna go. Then I had Tennessee at 7-9, 2-4 in the division, and then Indy at 3-13. They're a mess.
Really, 3-13.
I think Luck's going to come back, and I just don't see how Andrew Luck is going to rebound after all that he's been through. I mean, I know they're taking their time with him. I mean, that's apparent. He was supposed to start week one last year.
Right.
And now they even know if he's going to start week one this year. So,
yeah.
I really don't like Indy. I could be wrong. They could probably win more than 3 games. I could see that happening. But, just looking at what their matchup was, I mean, I looked at their strength of schedule. I have the strength of schedule actually pulled up right here if it'll load.
That division is rough.
The Colts have the 22nd easiest schedule.
Okay, right.
22nd hardest, sorry.
Right.
I worded that wrong.
So one of the harder schedules is what we're saying. One of the easier ones, actually.
One of the easier ones.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting because, that division is rough. You look at playing Jacksonville twice, playing Houston twice, and even the Tennessee team twice. I mean, that's not an easy schedule by any means within the division. And then you're counting, obviously, what games they have outside of it. So it must be easier. Right. I had the first two the same as you. I had Jacksonville winning 11-5. I had Houston getting into the playoffs as a wild card at 10-6. I had Indy as the third with an 8-8 record. Which is why I was surprised to hear you 3-13. I have a lot of faith in Andrew Luck. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. I think he'll bounce back. And I had Tennessee at 6-10. I don't know. I just don't believe in this Tennessee team. I don't believe in Mariota. This is a team that went 9-7 last year. And I don't know. I'm not feeling it. Mariota and Winston, to me, those top two picks from a few years ago, I don't have a lot of faith in them. I don't feel like they've shown me a lot to, like, warrant me putting, like, you know, faith in them.
You don't think that backfield's
so.
Better this year? Because I do. I think that backfield's way better.
Yeah.
And, Mariota played fine. He did fine.
He's had a lot of injury issues.
There's not a whole lot of guys that can catch their own touchdown pass, and he did that in a playoff
game. To themselves. True. I mean, he's got that going. But he has a lot of injury issues.
That backfield's so much better. The defense isn't that terrible. I really like Mike Vrabel?
Vrabel's, yeah. He's the head coach.
I really like Mike Vrabel. He's going to bring a defensive philosophy to that team. And their offense, I already thought, was fine. I mean, they're not going to put up 30 points a game on people.
Right.
But, you know, if you put 24-21 up and you're holding teams to 20, that's at least a 800 or a 500 record.
Yeah.
I haven't met 7-9, but.
Right. I had them at 6-10. So if we're being honest, like, I just had them losing one more game than you. So I don't have them that
off.
But
you make them sound like they're dog poo poo.
I'm not saying.
And
I
you
just
have
don't.
The Colts at 8-8, which is absurd. So
I'm just saying, I don't believe in Mariota. And he has a lot of injury issues. I don't like a quarterback that has that many injury issues. But I think Luck.
Injury issues? You're taking Andrew Luck over Marcus Mariota.
But he's like you said, he took like an entire
Luck
year.
Luck hasn't played
a half
in a
off.
Year because of an injury.
Right. So
multiple
he should be rested.
Injuries.
Hey. He should be good by now. I mean, he's got to have a bionic arm at this point or whatever. No, so
either that
or
he's made of glass. I don't know.
Yeah. So
let's go to the East. You make me mad.
The point is we had both the playoffs teams correct, and
I think we're
good with that. Okay, East. Yes. Obviously, New England runs away with this. What did you have as their overall record?
I actually had Buffalo winning the division.
No, come on.
No, I had New England. One seed, 14-2.
With Josh Allen leading them past the okay.
He's pro ready, bro. He's pro
right,
ready.
Absolutely.
No, I had New England winning at 14-2.
Okay. You had some high 14-2
and
a couple 12-4s. Wow, that's a lot.
I don't think it's out. I don't think 14-2 is out of the question for him. I mean, as long as Tom Brady's there and has a heartbeat, I think he's going to lead them to at least 11 wins by himself. And then the brilliance of Bill Belichick's going to make up for the rest of it.
And you know, they have a pretty rough schedule. Like, going through it, they have some hard non-division games that they're playing. You know, they're playing Pittsburgh again.
They have the same strength of schedule as the Colts.
Really?
Yeah.
That's probably
22nd hardest. I mean,
that's
pretty
probably
easy. That's a pretty easy schedule.
They're probably because they get to play the Jets and the Dolphins twice a year. So,
well, I mean, look at their division.
If you look at it, they're out of the division schedule, though. They do have some rough matchups. But I have them at 12-4. I mean, they're obviously the best team in that division. I'm assuming you had Buffalo second. What did you have the record at?
I had them at 6-10.
6-10.
Yeah. Run
away. My Bills. Come on.
No, I mean.
They made
the
playoffs last year. Let's not forget. Let's not sleep.
Yeah, but I mean.
They're the Panthers of the AFC.
I don't like them. I don't like it. I mean, that's a team that I could see at 9-7.
I think you're probably more accurate than I am, because you do have to remember that they are playing with a rookie quarterback this year. I mean, they have AJ McCarron, so we're basically assuming Josh Allen is starting week one. So, you know, it's hard to look at a rookie and expect a lot. I don't know. I had them at 9-7. I think that's probably about their peak, like as high as they could go. But I could see them anywhere from like 6-10 to 9-7. But I had them at 9-7, 4-2 in the division. Not a playoff team, but I think they were 9-7 last year. I think they'll stick around that same mark as Josh Allen develops. Who did you have third?
I had the Jets actually at 5-11, 3-3 in the division.
Okay.
I think if Robbie Anderson doesn't go to jail, he could have a breakout year.
He basically had one last year. I mean, he played really well. So
I think they're gonna have to play Sam Darnold. They're gonna have to.
Oh yeah.
It's just the way it's gonna be. I think you know what? Keep an eye, a little sleeper player to keep an eye on. I might call an Isaiah Crowell revival this year in New York. I think he just was. Cleveland was just not a good spot for him to be in.
It must be depressing
to like
play on that team. So I mean, any player underperforms in Cleveland, I think you got to give him the benefit of the doubt because they played for the Cleveland Browns. You know,
right?
So.
I mean, so I keep an eye on him. I'm not saying he's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher, and I'm not saying he's going to get 8+ touchdowns, but I think he's going to have a significant role in contributing into that ground game. So
absolutely,
with Matt Forte gone, I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah, well, and especially with them, we're presuming that they're starting Darnold. I mean, he's going to be there to take a lot of pressure off of him as a rookie quarterback. So they're going to be looking to run the ball more and establish the run game, and that's going to give him touches. And the more touches you have, the better your stats are going to be overall. So I think you're absolutely right. You look at some of these teams with rookie quarterbacks, I would be, if you're doing fantasy football, I'd be looking at their running backs as a solid running back 3 in that flex position, or even a running back 2, depending on the situation. So,
right.
And then obviously Dolphins last, I had them winning no games in the division. So they're 0-6 in the division.
Yeah, that's what I have them. I have them at 2-14.
Oh, two. See, I had 3-13. I had a little more faith in whoever they have on their team. I don't even know. I don't know who plays for the Dolphins anymore.
I mean, if they bring a Smokin' Jay Cutty back, that's
I'm gonna boycott the NFL if Jay Cutler.
I think I just
used
a fantasy footballers reference too, so I better shout them out. Fantasy footballers, go ahead and listen to them on Apple Podcasts. They're great.
Oh yeah, that's a great podcast.
Great podcast. But yeah, the Dolphins. They're caca, man. They're just...
Yeah.
I like Kenyon Drake. I really do. That's about it. And Cameron Wake. And I like Cameron Wake. And that's about it.
Yep.
Other than that, they're going to have a top 3 pick in the draft, I think,
absolutely,
next year.
Are you... do you think that's maybe why they didn't draft a quarterback this draft? Because I felt like they would, and they didn't.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was shocked, but I now that you say that, I think maybe they're tanking, basically. They're going to say, we're going to suck this year. And they were like the 10th pick. So they would have got like the 4th best quarterback in the draft. So if you think about it, well, we could get the 4th best this draft or have to trade up to get a better one. Or we just suck again next year and we could get a top 5 pick and then we're getting the best 1 or 2 quarterbacks in the next year draft. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean... Yeah, they're tanking. They're tanking. And unfortunately, a great player like Kenyon Drake is going to have to be along for the ride. They did get Frank Gore, the ageless wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude's going to be like 40 years old, still bowling over people.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like the best, most boring player ever. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There is nothing flashy about him. But he just gets the job done wherever he goes. And
yeah,
hats off to him for him making it work all these years. But
yeah, and late in his career that he's still producing. I mean,
he's
going to
be like 34 or something like that, isn't he? Like
former Niner, went to Miami. Didn't he go to Miami? That's cool. He's playing back in Miami.
Yeah, he was a Hurricane. He was at University of Miami.
Okay, there you go. Shout out to Frank Gore. Okay, cool. Let's he's going home to retire. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Let's go to what is the craziest division of all in this entire prediction, which is the AFC West. So before we get into who I had where, I had all teams with a winning record.
Okay.
The lowest team in here is 9-7. Like I really, and they all basically split the division with each other, which I think is what hindered a lot of these teams from getting to the playoffs. But let me hear what you had as far as division standings.
Well, there's 2 playoff teams coming out of this division for me.
Oh yeah, for sure.
4 seed Oakland wins the division.
Oh.
At 11-5.
Okay.
4-2 in the division. I really like this team, and I think I speak for the rest of America when I say, welcome back, John Gruden. We need a John Gruden back in football. He was great in the booth, but he's better on the sideline. I mean, the mic'd up bits you get from this dude is unreal. And he's one of those great football minds. And he's very old school, which I like. I love an old school style football play, smash mouth in your face, good defense type stuff. Which I think that could turn Oakland around after kind of a freak down year. They were not supposed to go 6-10 last year.
No.
And they did. Then I have the Chargers going in at the 6th seed, 9-7.
Oh, okay.
4-2 in the division. So I think they're not going to play that well outside the division.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
They have a couple primetime games though against some really good teams. That's probably why I picked, and I think if I remember correctly, majority of them were on the road.
And that so is true.
That influenced the bad out of division play. Okay. And that could, this is again a division where I know I have Oakland two games better than the Los Angeles, but I could see the Chargers also winning and Oakland taking that sixth seed.
Right.
So I have Kansas City at 8-8, third in that division, 2-4.
Do you not like Patrick Mahomes?
I just don't. You know, he's got a big arm. He's got a deep threat. He's got two deep threats now, and Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt. I just think that division's too good.
Like, yeah. Okay.
The AFC West is odd because it's like everyone, you know, craps on him because they're like, oh, you know, it's a bunch of mediocre players. Well, no, it's really so good that when they play division each other, they just split. And so, like, yeah, the division right. winner gets up, winds up 10-6 instead right. of 12-4 or 13-3. So,
because
I mean,
they're
it's
playing
just
good
a, it's
teams
a really solid.
Six times
yeah,
a
they're
year.
They're actually when you playing good quality teams. Even Denver, right. who I have last at 7-9, is going to be an okay team.
Oh, in any other division, they could be an over 500 team, but they got to play absolutely. The Raiders and the Chargers and the Chiefs six times. So, you know, yeah. it's a challenge. You know, if you look at the Patriots can go win 12 games every year because they play the Jets and the Dolphins four times and the Bills, you know. So, like, absolutely. Yeah, okay, they're going to win five of those six games, and there you go. Like, that's already halfway there, so.
Yeah, and sleeper MVP pick. Keep an eye on Derek Carr this year. I think he turns it around.
I don't know. I'm worried after last year. This was rough for me. In the end, I'm totally cool with this not being right. But I had the Chiefs winning the division at 11-5. I think that's a good team, and the only difference is this team is that they now have a different quarterback. But I honestly think. Is a better quarterback for their fit. I mean, I think I love Alex Smith and I don't want to take anything away from him, but I just, I really like this team. I like Patrick Mahomes. I like all the weapons they have offensively, and they have a middle of the road defense. And I think they'll go 11-5. I had them 4-2 in the division. So nothing crazy.
Okay.
I had the Chargers as the other wild card team at 11-5 as well. And so somehow I guess in the tiebreakers, the Chiefs end up winning the division, but the Chargers are a super solid team. I think I would not be surprised to see them in like the AFC Championship game this year. I think they're a really solid team on the rise, and Philip Rivers is in the last few years of his career. So if they're going to do anything with him, I mean, now's the time. I have the Raiders missing the playoffs at 10-6. So however the tiebreaker went between them and Houston basically pushed the Raiders out of the playoffs. But okay. I think they could be a wild card team. Like if I had to choose whether I wanted Houston or Oakland in, I would have chose Oakland. But since I filled it out on this predictor, it kicks them out based on whatever tiebreakers. And then I had Denver at 9-7. So, you know, I don't know. I think this is a really tough division. I think it could honestly go either any way. I would not be shocked if Denver won the division. Like I really wouldn't. Like it wouldn't blow me away. And I honestly think we could have three teams go to the playoffs out of here. You know, I
can see that.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me either. So I think
I don't know if that's ever been done, but I could see it.
It happened last year in the AFC South because the Falcons and the Panthers and the Saints all made it.
That's right.
And I think if there's any division besides the NFC South that could do that again, it's definitely the AFC West. So, yeah, you know, I think this is the most intriguing ones to look at. I think my sleeper pick out of all this is the Chargers. I think they're a really good team. They have offensive weapons, and they have a stellar defense with a lot of young players. I think they could surprise some people this year. So,
yeah.
All right. So you had as your playoffs teams, based on seeding, you had New England as the one seed, right?
Yeah, I had New England as the one, Pittsburgh as the two, Jacksonville as the three, and Oakland as the four. And then I had Houston as the five, and LA as the six.
Okay. Cool, cool. Yeah, so I had New England was the one for me. I had Jacksonville as the two, which split the same record as the Kansas City Chiefs, but won it based on record or whatever. So Jacksonville 2, Kansas City 3, Steelers 4, Chargers 5, and Houston 6. So pretty close. I mean, we're pretty similar. The differences we have are the Raiders, the Chiefs, but it's all that AFC West, which we said is pretty much it's up in the air. Flip.
Yeah.
So let's move on to NFC North. This one was kind of interesting. I'm excited to hear how you said that somehow Chicago wins the division. So let's just get right into
this. Oh, I never said that. And because this is our first podcast and I feel like we should let everyone know, I am a Chicago Bears fan.
For some reason.
The last few years, that's been no way to live your life, but I still am one.
You don't recommend it?
I don't recommend it. I about had a heart attack when they drafted Mitchell Trubisky, but I stuck with it. I'm still a diehard. But, dude, I love the Vikings. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I got them going 12-4, winning the division. Okay. 5-1. That team is just better. It's better with Kirk Cousins. It's better with he's gone. Dalvin Cook coming back.
Yeah.
Still a really scary wide receiver core, especially when you start off with guys like Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen.
Right.
That's a good offense. And then defense, lost for words. That defense is just so good. It's ridiculous. So I'm picking the games, right? And I'm watching this division closely as I pick games.
Right.
Because the Packers, I think, with Aaron Rodgers back and healthy, they're going to be another really good team.
Uh-huh.
But I have them in the 5 seed. They're coming in second, 11-5, 5-1 in the division.
Okay.
Literally, I think this was the division, and it might have been the South or the North. I can't remember where they played each other week 17 tied.
And that determined it.
And that determined it.
Right.
I forget if it's the South or the North, because I don't know, we'll get to the South in a minute. But the Packers are going to be really good. I think they get in with the 5. The Bears, I did have at 7-9.
Hey, same here. Look at that. I think that's a solid season for the Bears. You get to 7-9.
They don't play well within their division. I think they split with the Lions and they drop to the Vikings and Packers.
So you had them 1-5?
1-5 in the division.
Oh, I had them 2-4. I have more faith in you. Look at that. Go Bears.
Well, you know, they're going to be, you know, give them a couple years. I think they're one of those teams that you give them a couple years and they're going to be competitive again.
Yeah.
But they're just not quite there yet. I think Trubisky needs a year of actually throwing the football.
Right.
He didn't do that a whole lot last year. So,
amazingly for a quarterback, you know,
for a quarterback, he didn't. I mean, there was that one game when he threw the ball 6 times.
And beat my freaking Panthers.
Yeah.
I'm a Panthers fan, by the way. And the Bears beat him, and Mitchell Trubisky threw the ball 6 times. And that was probably the most ashamed I've ever been to be a Panthers fan.
Yeah. Well, and that brings me to the next point. That Bears defense is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And
no, it's,
they got and they, better with drafting Roquan Smith.
Smith, defensive rookie of the year next year.
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. That dude he kind of reminds me of a Patrick Willis, big bodied, speed sideline to sideline. Can cover a lot of ground really quickly, but a good nose for the ball.
Plays that's a good downhill. Comparison. I like that.
Yeah. Plays downhill. I love that dude. He reminds me a lot of Patrick Willis.
Yeah.
So, and then I have Detroit going 6-10. They're just, I think they missed their window. They had that window of about 5 or 6 years where they could have made a run. And they just never did. And I think that window's closed and, they're going to be one of those teams that are kind of perennial seller people for the next few years.
Yeah. And I had them 5-11 at the bottom of the division. And I agree. I'm interested to see what they have to do with Stafford after this year. Cause if they really want to just like tank, rebuild, do it all, they're going to have to get rid of Stafford. Cause they're paying him a whole hell of a lot of money for being
oh, yeah.
that guy, and I'm sure he doesn't want to be losing. So it'll be interesting to yeah. see what they do. I actually had Green Bay winning this division.
Okay.
And I had them at 11-5. I believe in Aaron Rodgers. I think he does a lot for that team, and I think he'll bounce back and he'll want to get back in the playoffs, so he'll put him back in the playoffs. I had the Vikings at 10-6, but based on tiebreakers, they don't make the playoffs.
Okay.
So they're the 7 seed in the NFC. And, you know, I like the team. I think the team's stellar. I do worry about Kirk Cousins. And I also worry about what happened in the playoffs last year with their miracle of winning and then not being able to get past the Eagles with the backup quarterback. And I think that's demoralizing mm-hmm. to lose at home like that. And I'm afraid of how they bounce back from that. And I don't okay. think it's – I just don't think they're going to be quite as sharp as they were last year. They're still a solid team, like I said, 10-6. And they missed the playoffs just based on the tiebreakers. But I do have some issues with the team. I'm not 100% sold.
Do you think that has something to do with maybe getting – you know, having the receiver core and everyone else synchronized with the new quarterback?
I think there's a lot of things. I think
learning that, a I system mean,
you,
and –
You just add a new quarterback in there. You're dealing with Kirk Cousins, who has been a solid guy, but not a winner. And so now he's produced offensively with the Redskins, but now he has to win. And we don't know if he could do that. And I don't 100% believe in Kirk Cousins. And so I don't see them going 12-4, but I think 10-6, okay. I think they can make the playoffs. In this scenario, they don't, but I think it's possible. I'm just not like sold on them as this super, super solid team. I have some questions. So,
right.
Yeah. And another reason why I think people are sleeping on Denver is do we have to remember they do have Case Keenum. And Case played really well last year, and I think he'll do solid for Denver.
I do think Keenum's a winner. He is. He's nothing flashy. He's a winner though.
And he's in the same, basically the same situation that he was last year with a top five defense and Denver's defense and him just having to manage a game and do a little bit of what it needs to win. And that's the situation the Vikings put him in last year. And that's why they played so well. And I think he found himself a very similar situation for him to thrive in. So let's NFC South, my favorite division, obviously, as a Panthers fan. This one was fun. I had both the wild card teams coming out of this division.
Wow, so you had three come out again.
Yeah, I had three again. And honestly, it's the exact same order as last year. So I had the Saints at 13-3, winning the division with the 4-2 division record. And that was actually the best record I had of any team in the NFL for the season, 13-3. I had the Panthers as the 5 seed at 11-5. And they split the division 3-3, and I had the Falcons at 10-6, who beat out the Vikings in that tiebreaker for the 6th spot.
Okay.
And then Tampa at 4-12. So.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
What did you have?
I had Carolina winning the division.
Oh, what's up? There we go.
Yeah.
This is why you're my friend.
I really like this team. I think Christian McCaffrey. Another sleeper offensive player of the year. I really like what that kid does.
And he's just going to get better.
I had him at 12-4, 5-1 in the division.
Okay.
And I looked back at this is the game. I'm calling it right now. Uh-huh. Saints and Panthers will go in a week 17 tied.
Oh, yeah.
And they will play each other for the division.
Right. Well, and that's so I
so
had.
There's my hot yeah. take, bold call of the day right there.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. I had basically, so I had them at 11-4 and the Saints at 12-3. Had the Panthers, I had them losing in week 17, the Panthers, but had they won.
You had who at 12-3?
So going into week 17, the Saints are 12-3 and the Panthers are 11-4. And I had the Panthers losing, but had the Panthers won, they would have won the tiebreaker and then got the number one seed in that division. So I think you're absolutely right. I think it comes down to that week 17 game.
I had them both going in as 11-4.
Okay, and then the Panthers pulling it out. Nice. Yeah. And then what did you have the Falcons at?
Well, I had Saints going in the 6th seed.
Okay.
11-5, 4-2 in the division. Atlanta playing very poorly in the division.
Yeah.
1-5 is what I had them at.
Oh, like really bad.
Like very bad. I think they dropped both to Carolina. I forget who they. I think they beat Tampa Bay once, is what I had.
Okay.
I think Tampa Bay upsets the other time. I had Atlanta at 9-7.
Okay.
I like Matt Ryan. I don't like his receiver core.
Even though they have Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. I think people are going to be hurt when you say that.
I mean, he hasn't done a thing yet.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, he is clearly an offensive weapon. And, I mean, he can't be bad. I think he's only going to help.
Did the fact that I just say shit, did that make it an explicit podcast right there?
No, you're fine.
Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, I'm assuming so, but I don't really care. It doesn't make a difference.
We have to put the red E next to it now.
Right. I don't put any E.
Don't edit this out, by the way. Atlanta, you know, I like that running back tandem. That's probably my favorite running back tandem in football, is Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Because I think Coleman could go to a lot of places in the NFL right now and start.
Oh, yeah.
And he's their second string back. He's their third down back right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always liked Freeman. I think he's a stud. Tampa Bay, I have it 3-13.
I was like, holy cow!
They're finishing last at 13-3.
That's a tough division right there.
That's a tough division.
No, I mean, when you have the Saints going 16-0 and the Panthers at 15-1, I mean, it's just crazy.
They could technically, but Tampa Bay is 3-13. There's nothing to like about that team. I don't like James Winston. There's nothing to like.
I don't.
They are
and especially,
dog poo-poo.
Well, and you look at, I mean, they have to play Atlanta, Carolina, and New Orleans 6 times a year.
Just three and tough teams.
And they're going 2-4 at the most. So then, you know, they've already set themselves up with a losing record, and they got to win their out-of-division games. It's a tough division for them as a growing team and a young team. When you have three other teams that are in their prime right now and are ready to win, it's just a bad situation for them.
I don't know when Jameis Winston's contract year is, but if I were him, man, I'd hope it would be coming soon because I want the heck out of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
and out of
the NFC
South.
There's a lot of places he could go. And probably have a lot of success in. He could go have success in Buffalo.
Oh yeah.
Now they drafted a quarterback, and so that's out of the question.
But you look at
he could go have success in
Miami.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A team like who else doesn't really have? I mean, maybe the Lions. Maybe if they move on from Matthew Stafford, they want to get younger. That's a possibility. The Bengals. The Bengals need a quarterback. I think that would be a possibility.
Arizona. They just drafted a.
Rosen.
What's his face? Rosen. Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I think he has to get out of there. Or he goes to the
Redskins.
We're
in a peculiar situation, I think, right now, Dallin, where every team in the NFL, you look at them, with the exception of maybe a couple, and they either have a quarterback to build around or they have a good quarterback.
Yeah, it's true.
We're
kind of
in a weird
teams.
Spot. We're kind of in a weird spot like that.
Well, and that's why, I mean, that's what's remarkable about having 5 quarterbacks go in the first round of this draft. A lot of teams filled that need. And now you look at those teams, and even a team like Baltimore, who used their last pick in the first round to get Lamar Jackson. But you look at that team, and you're like, oh, they don't need a quarterback. They got Lamar Jackson. They're going to be building towards that. So, yeah, a lot of teams filled their needs. And they're really, I mean, you have... like Miami is going to need a quarterback soon. They're going to need to do something there. I think like the Redskins, though they got Alex Smith, he's not going to be around forever. He is on the decline, so they'll have to get somebody to put into his place. And honestly, like that's – and the Bengals, I think, would probably be a team that would replace their quarterback if they could. But other than that, yeah. I think you're right. Pretty much every other team – I still don't believe in Blake Bortles. I think Jacksonville could possibly try to do something depending
on
how
snake?
He plays this year.
Another shout out to fantasy footballers. Blake the Snake. I got a snake, man!
Yeah, you know,
he's
I don't know.
I love that guy.
I like him too, but I don't know. If he is the one piece that they're missing out on to go to a Super Bowl, I don't see them not getting rid of him.
He's going to win. He's going to win a Super Bowl.
I hope not. If Blake Bortles wins the Super Bowl.
I sure hope so.
I hope so for the sake
of the Jaguars.
I know
you're rolling your eyes at me right now. I can see you. You're rolling your eyes at me right now. We're Skyping, by the way. I can see his face, and he's not happy with my statements. But
I don't know.
No, I think Blake Bortles could win. He could win a Super Bowl, and it could be this year. I didn't pick him to do that, but no. You know, I didn't pick him.
Eek. Man, Blake Bortles, look at that. Let's stop talking about Blake Bortles. It's going to give me a hernia.
Don't worry about it.
NFC East. Obviously, okay. The Eagles win this division. What did you have them as overall record?
12-4.
Okay.
4-2 in the division.
Same here. I had them 11-5, but 4-2 in the division.
I had Dallas missing the playoffs. Uh-huh. 10-6.
Okay.
5-1. They played well in their division. 5-1.
Okay. Same here. I just noticed that I had them as a better division record than the Eagles, but missing the playoffs and being the second seed.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly what I had.
Look at us. We're on the same wavelength right here.
I have not bought into Dak Prescott. So
nope. Skip Bayless makes me not want to like Dak Prescott.
Well, you know, I like Dak. I do. I think he's a great player. I don't know if he's the answer, though.
Is he the type of quarterback that leads a team to a championship?
He hasn't shown me that he's the answer yet. So,
yeah. I had them at 9-7, so not quite.
And Zeke's going to be back a full year, and I think that's going to really help. But
yeah, well, let's see what last year does to him. I'm worried that psychologically, you know, dealing with the
whole
suspension
thing. Well, he came
back
and he still played great. I mean, yeah. He still played well.
Yeah.
I think he had that one game where he got shut down, but
right. I just don't know about that defense either. The defense in the Cowboys is really weak. And I think offensively, now they're transitioning in their wide receiver core. Dez Bryant is out. Who do they have at wide receiver now? Nobody. So you're basically relying on Zeke and Dak to throw it to a bunch of no names and hope it works out. So that's why I had them at 9-7. I don't think they have games against the Giants and the Redskins that help. They're going to sweep those guys. They'll split with Philly and, you know, I don't know. But I just don't see outside of that them doing anything.
So speaking of Dallas, where do you think Dez Bryant ends up?
I have no idea. He's going to end up like fourth or fifth on some depth chart of some team that's going to have an injury in training camp.
Fourth or fifth?
He's not that good
anymore. Are you serious?
Is he anything better than a third option, honestly? Like, what team has that crappy of wide receivers?
He could be a good
solid
Z receiver.
I just don't know. I don't think
he
wants to.
Well, he'd have to be an X. I wouldn't put him in motion for anything. But
right.
Yeah, no. Give him the opportunity to play on the outside.
I just don't see. I think he'll get signed when some team has an injury in training camp and they need wide receiver depth. Could he push himself?
I was just kind of thinking, what if he ended up in Oakland on like a 1-year deal? I mean, think about that receiver core. So you got Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Then you add Dez Bryant to the equation.
Yeah.
Who are they going to cover?
I think that looks better
on
paper.
Who are you going to cover?
Honestly. Dez Bryant did not look good last year. He led the NFL in drops. I think he's way past his prime. And I just like, I think he's easy to cover now. I don't see him as a challenge to a cornerback unless you're just not very good. I don't know. I really don't know where he goes.
I don't think he's done yet. I think he's got some football left in him. But,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure some team will sign him.
Oakland was kind of a fantasy idea of having that receiver core of Cooper, Nelson, and
I think
Bryant,
that looks better on paper than it actually is. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
That's a lot of shares. That's a lot of shares you got to do.
Yeah.
So.
And you've got three basically number one wide receivers there. Because those all have been number ones. Jordy was number one in Green Bay, and Dez was the number one in Dallas. And so now you have three number one receivers. And
Cooper
there's only
wasn't really a number one in Oakland, though.
I mean, he was, yeah. I mean, Crabtree wasn't the number one. It was Cooper.
Crabtree definitely played. He definitely had the numbers of a number one. Cooper didn't.
Right, but I think if
everyone was covering
on the depth chart, you're putting Cooper number one. So he's still, I don't know. Interesting to see where Dez goes, but what did you have at the bottom of this division with the Redskins and the Giants?
I had the Giants way down. way down. I do not like this team one bit.
No.
Even with Saquon.
Even with Eli Manning, the most elite quarterback of all time.
You know, he's past that elite stage.
he's been past. I don't know if we ever got there. If we're being honest, he passed it his entire career. But you know,
for people that don't know, I have argued since probably their first Super Bowl win with Eli.
Yeah.
Which would have been 2007,
2008, something like that.
That Eli Manning was elite. He beat the best quarterback in football twice on the biggest stage. More than his so-called argument, brother, you could make an argument for the GOAT, Peyton Manning. And Eli has not had many good years in the past 5 years or so.
Or like 10.
I still get a heart, well, not 10, because he won a Super Bowl 10 years ago. So I've been getting a hard time about this for a long time, and now
Mitch and I have
is,
argued about this for years. It's still, I don't know.
Well, it's not really an argument the last 4 years because he's obviously not.
Well, it never was an argument if we're being honest, because I was always right. But I mean, hey, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, you're just a winner, aren't you? Always right. No, but absolutely. I have the Giants down there. Interestingly enough, though, I think Saquon wins Offensive Player of the Year on a team with a 2-14 record.
Offensive Player of the Year, not Rookie of the Year, like Player of the Year.
Offensive Rookie of the Year, sorry.
Okay, I was like, whoa, okay, I like that. No, I mean, that's a hot take, bro. Let's go with it. MVP, Saquon Barkley. I'm just kidding.
Because I really do think Eli is on the downslide.
They're gonna be relying on him for all their offense. So, yeah, I 100%.
I mean, there's
going to
be
totally
two guys they're going to rely on. They're going to rely on Odell and Saquon.
If Odell's even there.
Well, he's there. You seen the videos of him working out? I've seen the videos of him working out, man. He looks
wouldn't be shocked if they traded him.
You're just buying into mainstream media. Fake news. Fake news.
ESPN's fake news.
Yeah.
No. So what did you have them as the record then?
2-14.
Okay. I had them at 3-13. What did you?
0-6 in the division.
I had them 1-5. So, So this is the one I'm most curious about. The Redskins.
Yeah, that was an interesting
one. What do you have
one.
Them at?
I have an 8-8.
Oh.
8-8.
Okay.
I still like Alex Smith, maybe. Still like Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still do. He's still. I think he's still awesome. So, It's gonna be fun to watch that team because I like their receiver core. I like their receiver core. I do. Jameson Crowder and Ryan Grant, I really like. Ryan Grant's kind of a deep threat. Alex Smith proved last year that he can throw the ball downfield. So, yeah.
Who's their running back? Do they even have a running back?
Chris Thompson, Samaje Perine.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So they don't have a running back.
They just got someone there, didn't they?
I don't think so. I think that's who they have. I think they're Thompson and P. Ryan. You know, okay, so we have a Colts situation here. You had them at 8-8. I had the Redskins at 3-13.
What?
Yeah, I do not. There's nothing here that I like about this team other than Alex Smith. But I do have a theory here. I think Alex Smith goes to Washington after getting traded from KC and he gives up. He's like, this is too much. I had a really crappy time with the Niners, finally got on a team, finally was able to get to the playoffs, like have some success, and then they trade me for this young guy. And you know what? I just don't think mentally he's going to be there 100%. This is not a good team. They're not a playoff team. So how much motivation does an older, at the end of his career, Alex Smith have? Honestly.
Oh, Darius Geis. That's the guy I'm thinking of that they drafted. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know. I just don't think he's going to be there. I don't think the team's very good. Defensively, they're trash. Offensively, they have some young weapons, but their offensive line is still suspect to me. And I just don't think Alex Smith is going to be that motivated to lead this team to anything. So I could honestly see them going 3-13 and just tanking, just not playing well.
Yeah, I don't really see why you think the Redskins would go trash like that.
Dude, I mean, but like, honestly.
Especially with
though,
a guy like Alex Smith. I mean,
But what is Alex? That's my point.
He's proven he's a winner.
Absolutely. And I respect Alex Smith a lot. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's super underrated. But what motivation does he have right now after getting traded to a really crappy Washington team from a team that he led to the playoffs? They are crappy. Who is? Can you name one player on their defense? Because I honestly cannot.
You just talked about how you don't believe in Kirk Cousins, right?
I don't.
Okay. So would you say Alex Smith is an upgrade?
On paper, yes. As far as Dallin, winning goes, and this is my point. So like, I don't believe in Kirk Cousins as a winner. I think Kirk Cousins can throw for 4,000 yards every year, but I'm talking about winning playoff games. Alex Smith is a winner, but my point is at this point in his career, what motivation does he have to win? He's not going to lead this team to the playoffs. There's no way.
He has plenty of motivation to win.
If Washington gets to the playoffs this year, I will get a Washington Redskins tattoo that says Alex Smith is a god on my butt cheek. Like, there is no way they make the playoffs.
That's for sure a deal.
Yes, this
You'll
is
get a
absolutely.
Tattoo.
Yes, I will get a tattoo that says Alex Smith is a god on my left cheek.
On your left butt cheek.
Yes, absolutely. So, this is my point. What Someone's motivation does he have to win? Like, what does he have anymore? It's the end of his career. He's only playing for
It's the end of
two...
his career. That's it. That's it. Yeah. That's exactly it. And he has
and he
some
got
tools
traded,
around him to go do it.
And no, and he got traded from the team that he led to the playoffs, the team that was built around him as a quarterback. He finally succeeded at, and they threw him away like garbage for this kid that they drafted at 15 last year, who sat on the bench the whole time.
What was Washington's final
That's
record?
That's defeating.
Last year? How did they finish
like
up?
Like 7-9, 6-10, somewhere around there.
So you don't think 7-9? No, I thought it was more than that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Alex Smith is a big upgrade in my book.
On paper, yes.
Because of his... No, intangibles. He's a field general, Dallin. He's a field general.
But who did he have to work with? And why would he...
Who did he have to work with when he came to Kansas City in the first place?
When he first came to
Kansas City, who did he have to work with? Not a whole lot, and he turned that team around with Andy Reid.
Yeah, because he was in the prime... He can't turn this team around. He's only got two or three good years left in him, maybe. So... there's no time to turn it around. Like, if he's going to win, it's going to be this year or next year, and this team ain't winning. So if you're Alex Smith, why do you care? What are you doing?
I don't even know why we're arguing about this. We both have them out of the playoffs.
Right. I just think
I think it's
I
more
would
that
be
you
shocked.
Think they're going to be garbage. I think that they're going to be 8-8.
I'd be shocked if they won more than like 6 games.
If you want perspective on how mediocre I think they're going to be, I have them 8-8 overall, 3-3 to the division, which means they're only going 5-5 outside of the division.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally going 500 across the board. I had them
winning one game out of the division. They went 2-4 in the division, and they went 1-9 outside the division.
You're so wrong.
Who are the Redskins beating? Come on. Anywho, so let's move on. Let's move on. NFC West. This one was kind of fun. And honestly,
yes,
for a while...
Absolutely.
I had some really interesting things going on in the division. About like week 10, I had the Seahawks winning this division, and I was like, the F is going on, and then it all worked out in the end. But so who do you, what's your, let me hear your standings.
So this division, actually, I have a really bitter taste in my mouth about doing.
Oh, because the Niners win it?
No, because the Niners didn't win it, and I'll tell you why. Well, not only that, there's some other things in here that I... have a better take. I have the Cardinals going 2-14, which does not seem right.
Ooh, yeah, that's rough.
That doesn't seem right to me. And so, like, I think I picked some games wrong when it came to that, for sure.
Probably gave too many wins to the Redskins, too.
That's probably what happened. You know, I'm going to just ignore that. And 0-6 in the division. I mean.
Ooh, yeah. So they didn't win any division games.
Like I said, I don't feel good about this division. Because this one made me hurt so bad. Because I have the Seahawks going 9-7 at third.
Okay.
They're 3-3 in the division.
Okay.
Not out of the question, right?
Right.
Right.
That's probably honestly, that's probably their ceiling.
I have San Francisco going 11-5 and missing the playoffs.
What? Wow.
At 4-4-2 in the division. A good year. This is what I talked about with the NFC. Good teams missing the division. And what I was talking about specifically was Dallas and San Francisco.
Right.
Mainly San Francisco, because this is going to be a good team.
Yeah.
I really believe this is going to be a great team. And I really like what Kyle Shanahan is doing over there.
Uh-huh.
11-5 and missing the playoffs?
That's insane. I love
Dallin,
it.
Dallin, that's not it. Okay. That's not okay.
It's not. No.
That's not great. Okay. And I did it, and I was like, and you know what it came down to was the Packers and the Niners.
Okay.
When I was playing with the different wins, it came to like one booted out, the other one was booted out.
Right.
And then there was a scenario I played with a little bit where the Saints got booted and the Niners and Packers made it. And so I was like, I don't feel good about that either.
Yeah, that's so. I think you chose the more realistic of any option.
But I don't want to do
rough.
It. Like, it's still rough. I just don't want to do it, you know? The Niners
We're buying too much into the hype of Garoppolo, I think. I think this is going to be a good team this year. And I think they'll be over 500. But I think to think, like, they're going to win the division or they're going to win 11 games even, I think that's a little much for them. I mean, this is still a young team. This is still a rebuilding team. Their defense has some holes still. They're not solid offensively besides Garoppolo. You know,
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
That Garoppolo's the running back is Jerick McKinnon. Like, that's all they have?
That's a great piece to have. Are you kidding me?
He's more of a pass-catching running back anyway, so who's running it between the tackles?
So?
You need to have both.
Pound the tackles with Matt Breida and then throw the ball out. No, seriously, and I'm dead serious when I say this. Pound the tackles with Matt Breida because I don't hate Matt Breida.
Right, but I don't like him
either. Run the ball, you know, 6, 7, 8 times with Jerick McKinnon, but use him as kind of like a Christian McCaffrey role.
Which is what they'll do, but I don't know. I think they're a few years away still. I think they need some weapons, especially on the offense for Garoppolo. I think he'll develop well. I had them at 9-7, and I did have them missing the playoffs. Which 9-7, if you're the Niners, is a success. I think they'll be at least 8-8. But I think 11 wins.
They're going 500. They're going 500 at least.
I think 11 wins is maybe a little too much. I think we're being a little too hype on Garoppolo, despite the fact that he did go what like 6-0 or 5-0 whatever it was at the end of the year. I don't know.
Well,
seems a little much, but
yeah, and I don't think their defense is that bad.
No,
who were they playing
terrible
last year? They blew out the Jaguars, didn't they?
Yeah,
they
did.
They blew out like 44 to, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
I mean, that's a good team. 5-0 with a bad team to end the year last year.
Yeah,
I don't think it's out of the question for them to have double digit wins. I don't think it's out of the question.
I think anything over. I think I would not be shocked if they went 10-6, perhaps. But
well,
because I had them at 9-7, you know, yeah, they could win another game there. But what did you have the Rams at then?
Oh yeah, number one baby, 3 seed, 12-4 again.
Okay,
another 12-4 team, 5-1 in the division. This is my favorite team that is going to lose in the playoffs.
Yeah, first round. They're losing first round.
Yeah, I have them losing into the divisional, and we'll get to there in a second. But,
me too. But
I really like this team, and they're so close, man. They are so close. Like, and this is a team that could go the distance. Just give them, like, one or two more years.
I think one more year. They're going to be a Super Bowl champion.
And I used to hate Jared Goff.
Really?
Hate him. Oh, yeah. And then last year I watched him play, and he looked more like an NFL-ready quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And changed my mind. They're not making it past the divisional round for me, but they win that division by a game over the Niners and get in with a 12-4 record.
That's what I had, too. Them getting in with a game over the Niners. I had them at 10-6 and 4-2 in the division. I think the division really beats itself up here. And kind of hinders like the Rams from being able to do a whole lot.
That's another really tough division.
There's a matchup that I'm really intrigued on. I don't remember. I think it's week 10 or later. And it's the Chargers at the Rams. And I saw that on the schedule and I was like, ooh, oh, that's going to be a good game. Those are like two
up because I'm thinking of the same thing you are. I think it's week 10.
Yeah, and it's like, I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's going to be a great, like, I'm watching that game no matter where it's on. I'm sure it'll be televised, but both those LA teams on the rise, like, I think that's a great game. But, so I had Rams 10-6 making the playoffs, Niners 9-7 missing. I had Seahawks at 8-8. I think 9-7 about is their ceiling. So I had them at 8-8, and then the Cardinals at 5-11. It wasn't as low on them, but they're definitely the worst team in the division. But, you know, I think Josh Rosen will show some good things this year. I think 5 wins is about accurate for them. So, yeah. So, as far as the NFC goes, let's go through this 1 through 6. Who were your who were the seeds that we had? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah,
I'll go first. So I had the Saints 13-3. That was the best record in all of the NFL. I had no other team that was higher than 12-4, and that was the Pats. So 13-3. Green Bay gets the number 2 seed at 11-5 due to tiebreakers. Eagles are number 3 at 11-5, and then the Rams are 10-6 at number 4. Then I have Panthers at 11-5 as the 5 seed, and the Falcons as the 10-6 who beat the tiebreaker with the Vikings to push into the playoffs, even though they had the same record. So just how I had the Raiders missing with the same record as the Texans, I have the Vikings missing with the same record as the Falcons. So
okay, cool.
I think we're pretty similar on these.
Well, I have the Vikings going number 1.
Never mind then. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're very different. We're similar in the AFC. We're very different in the NFC. And I think that has to do with the competition that's in the NFC right now.
It's
very competitive. Because
it really could go a number of different ways, you know?
Absolutely. Right now I have Minnesota going 12-4 at the 1 seed.
Okay.
Philly going 12-4 at the 2 seed. LA, the Rams going 3 seed, 12-4. Carolina 12-4 at the 4 seed.
Ooh, love it.
5 seed Green Bay at 11-5. And New Orleans at the 6 at 11-5.
Okay. So Atlanta doesn't make it. They were what, 10-6, right?
9-7.
Okay, so you had 9-7, and then the 10-6 Cowboys and Niners.
You can attribute that to a poor divisional record, which I think is what's going to happen. So,
yeah, I think that's
split with the Bucks, and then lose both games to Carolina and New Orleans.
Right. Okay. So let's move into these playoffs. So this is when it gets interesting. So I want you to go through your AFC. Well, I want you to go through your wild card rounds. And give us the matchups and then give us who you have going through.
So for those who are maybe new to the NFL, the 1 and the 2 seed get the bye for the first round, the wild card round. So the 3 through 6 seed play a wild card round to determine who plays the 1 and the 2. In the AFC, I had the 3 seed Jaguars playing against the 6 seed Chargers and the 4 seed Raiders playing against the 5 seed Texans. If you remember a couple years back, this was exactly the wild card matchup we had with the Raiders and the Texans, where I think the Raiders had to start Connor Cook.
Oh, yes.
Out of nowhere.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the 9-7 Texans. They were down to their third string quarterback.
Right.
And I felt good with their second string, but then they really screwed up and got their second string got injured. Had to go to the third.
That was the most disappointing end to a season I think I've ever seen for a team, because the Raiders looked like they were going to contend, they were going to push, and then just to have it end like that with like 3 games left was rough.
Left a bad taste in your mouth. It was really just rough to watch.
Yeah.
But so first game, Chargers Jaguars. Jaguars 3 seed, Chargers 6 seed. I have the Jags taking it. That defense is really what they're going to ride all the way through. That defense and that running game. Is really what they're going to ride all the way through. I have the Jags. If I had to put a score on it, and I think it's way, like, again, this is a way too early prediction.
Absolutely. These are all way too early. I mean, Tom Brady could get injured,
but it's
going to
be
one.
I think it's going to be a low scoring game because the Chargers also have a very formidable defense. Mm-hmm. So I could see it being 21-17 or even 17-10, something like that. I think it's going to be a one score game.
Right.
I have the Raiders over the Texans. I think that Raiders offense is going to be really a powerful force this year. Because a lot of people forget they signed Doug Martin. And a little history lesson is Doug Martin, who I fondly refer to as the muscle hamster. he has alternated since his career between 1,400-yard seasons and 400-yard seasons.
Really?
Last year was a 400-yard season for him. Now, I'm not saying he's going to have a
1,400-yard
season. 1,400-yard
season
in the same backfield as Marshawn Lynch, but I think he's going to be productive, and they're going to have kind of a two-headed monster back there. So
I see the Raiders over the Texans in that first round.
Okay.
So NFC, I got the Rams and the Saints. Rams at the 3 and Saints at the 6. Again, and then the Packers and the Panthers. Panthers at the 4 and the Packers at the 5. I have the Rams over the Saints. Like I said, I love the Rams.
Oh, but that's it. Okay.
But I just, like I said, they're not ready yet. But I really do like the Rams.
So they win that wild card matchup then?
Yeah, they win it at home. Nice. They win it at home because they'll have home field advantage there. And then the Panthers and the Packers, I think this is going to be a really tight game.
Yeah.
Really close game. I could see it being 31-30. I mean, that close.
Uh-huh.
31-28. I took the Panthers over the Packers.
Thank you.
Screw you,
Aaron Rodgers.
So I have Rams over Saints, Panthers over Packers.
Okay.
In the wild card round.
I love it. All right. So I had first AFC, the 4 and the 5 matchup is Steelers 4, Chargers 5, and then I have the Chiefs 3 and the Texans 6. I have both the road teams winning this. So I have the Chargers beating the Steelers. That's probably like my biggest like upset in all of these is the Chargers beating the Steelers. I like the Chargers team. And to beat them on the road would be tough, but I like it. So that's why I chose. And then I actually have the Texans beating the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs go, but Andy Reid can't win in the playoffs, and I don't trust Patrick Mahomes. And so I go with Deshaun Watson to push the Houston Texans past the Chiefs on the road and win that matchup. So I have the 5 and the 6 both winning those. As far as the NFC goes, so I have the Eagles as the 3 seed at home against the Falcons. This was a matchup that happened last year in the playoffs in the second round that the Eagles won. And I have the Eagles winning this one at home over the Falcons. And then I have the Rams at home as the 4 seed playing the Panthers as the 5. And I have the Panthers beating them as a 5 seed. I think one thing to note in this that both the 5 seeds win, the Chargers and the Panthers. But as far as the records go that I had, I actually had both those teams having better records than the 4 seed. So I have the Panthers at 11-5 and the Rams at 10-6, and same with the Chargers at 11-5 and the Steelers 10-6. So it's as much as they're upsets, they did have better records for me in the regular season, so it kind of makes sense for them to go through. So,
all right, that sounds great.
So, yeah, very. I think it'll be fun. Rams Panthers a very fun matchup. I think there. Okay, so your divisional round then.
Yeah, so I have the Steelers at number 2 and Jags at number 3 facing off.
A rematch of last year.
A rematch, and it's going to be a repeat. Jags beat the Steelers.
I love it.
I love that matchup, man. That's such
Big
a
Ben
good...
retires, right? He gives up.
Well,
gives up the ghost.
Big Ben hates Mason Rudolph, so I think he's staying for 5 years.
Oh, they'll trade him. They'll trade him to, like, Miami or something.
Well, nah, Big Ben hates Mason Rudolph. He's going to stay for 5 years and screw everything up for him. A good quarterback. But the Jaguars, yep, they prevail over the Steelers. I think it's another one of those games where the Jags kind of run away with it.
Yeah.
The other game, I have Pats Raiders, which is kind of my dream matchup deep down. Oh. I kind of want to see this matchup because...
Yeah.
I think that's just it's going to be two really good coaching minds. It's going to be Gruden and Belichick.
Uh-huh.
Who doesn't want to see that? I mean, come on.
True.
That's a
very
great
true.
Matchup. And then you're going to have Carr and Brady, who I think Carr is one of the next really great quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
And then kind of Tom's on his way out. But like I said, when we talked about Rockets Warriors, how do you pick against them?
You can't.
I think it's going to be a good game, but you got to pick Pats.
No, I 100% agree with you. I think, like you said, with the Warriors, it's hard to move against the Pats. So go ahead. And then who did you have for the NFC?
So in the AFC, we have a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game, Jags and Pats. In the NFC, I have Eagles-Rams and Vikings Panthers playing against each other. In that Eagles Rams game, I gotta take the Eagles. I think they are the superior team. As much as I love the Rams, The Eagles are the superior team. Yeah. I think that's kind of the smart choice. Vikings-Panthers, I got to take the Vikes. I think that's the better team again. So we have a complete rematch of the year before. Oh,
you do.
With
you have it.
Jags, wow. Pats, Eagles, Vikings.
There you
go. So that's my divisional round going into the conference round. Let's hear what you got to see.
There you go. I love it. Okay, so I had – so the Jags are the 2 seed in mine. They're playing the 5 seed Chargers. The Jags beat them. So the Jags go back to the AFC Championship. And then you have the Patriots as the 1 seed playing Houston as the 6. The Patriots get past them. And so I do have a rematch of the AFC Championship game as well with Jags-Pats. I think that's a pretty safe bet. The NFC I didn't, but I do have a familiar face. So Green Bay is the 2 seed. They're playing the 3 seed Philly team, and Philly beats them. So Philly gets back to the NFC Championship game. Winning on the road in Green Bay. And then I have the Saints as the 1 seed playing the 5 seed Panthers. And I love my Panthers, but they can't beat the Saints. They didn't do it last year, and they won't do it this year. The Saints will get past them. And so it'll be Eagles, Saints in the NFC Championship game for me. So we both had Eagles, Pats. I mean, sorry, Jaguars, Pats. And neither of us was stupid enough to pick the Jags, right?
Like, again, Warriors, Rockets.
Right.
I mean, okay. Yeah, you want to see the Jags win. I personally want to see the Jags win.
Oh, yeah.
I do. Because I think that's a great team.
Yep.
But as long as Brady and Belichick are there, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, Pats beat the Jags. They go to the Super Bowl representing the AFC. Vikings-Eagles. This one I stared at for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And I had to think about this one for a while. I took the Vikes.
Okay. No Super Bowl rematch then.
No, and I could see it going the other way. I could see it a Super Bowl rematch.
Right.
I'm so on board with the Vikings right now.
Yeah, you love Kirk Cousins apparently.
I like Kirk Cousins, but I love the defense more.
Yeah.
And the defense that's kind of where I'm at is, and you know, for those of you who don't know, I was a football coach and I was a defensive coordinator. So defense is kind of my, like, I get super excited over defense.
Right.
The Vikings defense is so good. And I cannot look past that. Even though they got Carson Wentz back and hopefully he stays healthy. I mean, that was such a shame last year when he went down. Kudos to Nick Foles leading him to that Super Bowl, but
absolutely.
I would have really liked to see Carson Wentz do it. But Nick Foles, the feel good story. I love seeing that.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I got to take Vikes. So the 2-1 seeds are facing each other in the Super Bowl.
There you go. I also had the 2-1 seed. So I had Patriots beating the Jags. I love the Jags. I don't think Blake Bortles pushes them past Brady. I just don't. As good as that defense is. And then, so I had the 1 and 3 playing. Eagles as the 3 seed, Saints as the 1 seed. I have the Saints beating the Eagles. So again, no Super Bowl rematch for me as well. So I have Saints, Patriots, both the 1 seeds, and both in the Super Bowl. I think the Saints seed is really, Saints team is very solid. They really don't have a weakness. They really don't. That defense is a top 10 defense. That offense is a top 5 offense. Alvin Kamara and Ingram are practically unstoppable. Breeze seems just as ageless as Tom Brady does. And I think we'll get a really interesting matchup of quarterbacks in a Super Bowl where you have both quarterbacks in their later years performing at high levels with Brady and Breeze. And I think that'd be a very fun offensive Super Bowl to watch.
You know, I can't be mad at that decision. That was that makes a lot of sense. It does.
Yeah. Thank you.
Seeing the Saints run through. I'm not there with the Saints is because I really like the Rams.
Right.
And that's who beat them in that wild card round. So
yeah, honestly, I think there's 4 teams that I would not be shocked. Actually, 5 teams that I would not be shocked if they made the Super Bowl in the NFC. You know, I think there's that many good teams in the NFC that, like, if the Saints or the Rams or the Panthers or the Eagles or the who else was I thinking? Saints, Vikings, if any of those teams made the Super Bowl, I would not be shocked. That's how good the NFC is. And in the AFC, I think it's really the like Patriots and maybe the Jaguars if they pull it off. Like, I think the AFC is really set, but the NFC is so up in the air that I think there's a lot of different teams that you could go with.
Like I said earlier, I mean, I have two teams missing the playoffs in the NFC who have 10-win seasons. And that doesn't happen all that often. I mean,
no.
I guess more often than what you would think, but not as often as it actually does. And
yeah,
NFC is going to be tough, dude.
If that really happens, if we have two double digit win teams that miss, I will be advocating for an expansion of the playoffs in the future for the NFL to expand it to 8 teams per division or per conference.
I don't agree with that. I don't like that.
Yeah. If it happens, we'll start advocating.
Maybe we'll talk about that after we get done with our Super Bowl picks. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah.
Who do you have for your Super Bowl? You go first.
I have the Saints winning the Super Bowl. Just because I don't want to pick the Patriots. I just don't. As much as I think they'll go to the Super Bowl, I think it's a lock. I didn't want to make them win it, so I chose the Saints.
Okay. I chose the Vikings for the same reason. Because... one, I love the Vikings. I think I can't express that enough.
Yeah, apparently.
How much I like the Vikings. but I'm not going to be surprised if the Pats win it. You have really the GOAT as far as head coaching and quarterbacks go in the NFL. Bill Belichick, and I, being someone who got to coach at a very small level, you admire other coaches, and I admire Bill Belichick for everything he's done.
Oh yeah,
and you know he's the best. He's the best. I did take the Vikings though. I think that defense. I always think defense trumps offense. The Vikings defense is, I think, superior to the Patriots offense. I really do. It's just. I really couldn't put a finger on it why. I really honestly couldn't. But I do know, I just have this feeling that the Vikings offense or the Vikings defense is superior to the Patriots offense.
You're owning it. I love it. I mean, you got to go with it. And this is the thing. These are way too early predictions. So, we have no idea what's actually going to happen in the season. But if we're basing it off right now, I 100% feel you. I can understand the Vikings defense is solid. I think for me, like I said, I don't even have them in the playoffs. I don't believe in Kirk Cousins as a winner, and I'm afraid of what psychologically happened to them in the playoffs and the way they lost to the Eagles after the miracle in Minnesota. I'm afraid of what that does to them in the season. I could see them starting slow and having to kind of bounce back, and because the NFC is so good, they get lost in the shuffle and end up just missing the playoffs. I don't know, but I do understand. I mean, they do have a very solid defense, and barring any injuries, I think there's no reason to not put them in the Super Bowl. So I think I'm very intrigued to see what happens this season. I think there's a lot of teams that will surprise a lot of people. Teams like the Raiders, teams like the Chargers, teams like the Panthers for me, Green Bay, teams that are going to bounce back after missing the playoffs, and I think it's going to be a great NFL season. I'm excited.
Oh, God. You know, and we've had some really weird seasons in the last few years.
Oh, like, yeah.
The last few years have been really weird, and I don't think this one's going to be any different. I think it's going to be another weird season where you see some teams kind of come out of nowhere and make a good run. Like we saw with the Rams and the Jags this last year. I mean, we knew they were going to be kind of good. We didn't know they were going to be that good.
Right. They were going to be on the up, but not, you know, playoff contenders like that.
Yeah. We knew they were going to be good, but we didn't know that they were going to contend that early.
Right. Exactly.
And so I think we're going to be in the same position this next year, man. It's going to be fun to watch. Do you have any sleeper teams then maybe
the
just
Chargers,
keep an eye on.
The Chargers. I think the Chargers could win that division. I really do. I think they're a very solid team. They're well put together. They have, like I said earlier, Phillip Rivers is at the end of his career. So if they're going to make a move with him, now's the time. I think they're going to really push it in this year and try to go for that because they only have a few years left on his window as a starting quarterback. And I think they could be I think also the Panthers. The Panthers are going to be a playoff team, no doubt. But they have a top 10 defense, and if their offense can get back on track after last year, they have a top 10 offense. I mean, 2-3 years ago, they had a number one offense. So, I you know, they're not far away from that. I think they're in the right position. I would not be surprised if they made it to the Super Bowl, honestly. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Absolutely. You know, I'm kind of in the same boat. I really want to watch the Niners, though. I really am intrigued by that team. I'm so intrigued by Joey Garoppolo. Or Jimmy. Sorry, Joey. What the hell was that? Jimmy
Garoppolo. That's his twin. That's his twin. He owns the deli off of 4th. Yeah. Hey, I'm Joey Garoppolo.
Joey Garoppolo. Jimmy GQ, as I call him, because he's the most handsome man in the NFL.
He's beautiful.
By far, most handsome man in the NFL. I'm really going to be interested to see what he does with that offense. He's going to have a lot of weapons around him. Goodwin and McKinnon, I think, are going to be probably one of his top utilized weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really want to see, I really think the Packers could make a push. I really have him as a playoff team in the 5 seed, but I think, you know, I could see him upsetting all the way through. At least to the conference championship.
Right.
You know,
we forget about Aaron Rodgers and how big of an impact he has on a game. And on a team.
Well, he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Oh, 100%.
To me, at least. Yeah.
100%. And so, yeah, I mean, I had them as a 2 seed. I had them losing to Philly. But, you know, you can't. I think people will forget about them because of last year and him getting injured and the team not playing well. I think we forget. But if he's healthy, that team always has a chance, you know. So.
Well, that's our way too early NFL predictions.
Yep.
How comfortable do you feel with yours, actually? I'm curious to know because
here's the thing. We always have a few major quarterbacks get injured, like Aaron Rodgers last year. I think I don't feel that comfortable because of that. Like, it's not out of the question that Drew Brees breaks his leg and, like, doesn't play the whole season or something.
Right.
But I feel fair, as confident as I can be at this point in the season about my predictions. I think, you know, as far as the NFC goes, it's really up in the air, you know, but I feel pretty good about him. What about you?
Yeah, I feel the same way. The only pick I feel comfortable about is the Patriots, and that, I think that's comes with anyone. I mean,
yeah,
but the Vikings thing, that could change in a month, you know. I mean, we're not even at mandatory training camp yet. I mean,
no,
we're
not
still
at all.
A ways
we're
out.
We're rookie mini camp right now. Like, we are, you know,
we're at non-mandatory OTAs. I mean, that's what we're at right now. So, I'm about as confident as I can feel with something in May.
Yep.
Really. But it was fun to do because it gets you thinking early.
Right. Absolutely.
And it gets you more excited because I don't think I get more excited than anything than kickoff to the NFL season. So that's something I always look forward to.
Yeah, it is good. If you guys want to try this on your own, the website is playoffpredictors.com. I'll put it in the description of the video. You guys can go to that website. It gives you the whole schedule, and you can pick game by game and kind of figure out who you have as your prediction and let us know who you have going to the Super Bowl, who you have winning, what things you think are ridiculous about. Please let me know that you agree with me about the Washington Redskins and that Mitch is crazy for picking them at 8-8.
I mean, the Washington Redskins are going at least 6-10. So Dallas 3-13
idea was just absolutely absurd. But
yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it's been real, guys. Thank you for joining us on this first episode on this journey. Really what it is. We're excited to continue to do this. This will be a weekly thing. We'll be talking about different kinds of sports. And you can listen anywhere podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, any other random podcast app. You will find us there. And follow us on Twitter. When we get our Twitter, it'll be in the description. You can, I don't know, where else? I don't know. We'll eventually do other stuff like Facebook maybe, but for now we'll stick with this. So anything you want to say to the people, Midge?
Well, I'd like to end this podcast with a little signature sign off that we heard in intermediate school. This is the Mitch Bo signing off here, and make it a great day or not. The choice is yours.
I love it. That was inspirational. Thank you guys.
That's right.
We'll catch you next week.